Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, what goods and services do we produce and how much effort and resources does it take to produce them? That's, in a nutshell, what productivity is, and it's the subject of a new study comparing Ireland's rates of productivity with those in other countries. While Ireland's productivity often shines due to multinational corporations, the Nevin Institute study done in conjunction with the CIPTU union highlights what it says is a troubling undercurrent in our domestic economy. Despite working longer hours, Irish workers produce significantly less value compared to their European counterparts. This gap, especially stark in sectors like retail, manufacturing, hospitality, raises pressing questions about investment, market competition and economic strategy. Now, if that all sounds complicated, to simplify it over the course of a debate, I'm joined by Michael Taft, CIPTU Research Officer, and Neil MacDonald, CEO of ISME. To you first, Michael Taft, I suppose. How is productivity measured and who decides how productive workers in any country are?
Well, productivity, the short answer to the measurement of productivity is that it's the amount of output that an enterprise generates for 1 hour worked. I think if people understand productivity as being what is the disposable income that accrues to a business after all of its input costs have been subtracted, input costs like energy costs or goods and services they have to buy in, administrative costs. So that disposable income becomes your value added. That is a key activity and measurement because that's where all of our wages and profits come from. So how much of that disposable income is generated per hour worked or the value added per hour worked? Because the higher the income that you're generating, the better chance you're going to have of a higher wage and owners having a higher profit. That is why productivity is such a key measurement.
And can I ask you, is it based on the existing people who are in employment or is it based on the notional labour force? Is it basically the cumulative profits in a country divided over all of the labour force or only those who are in work at any one time?
Well, it's about employees in their companies. And what we did was we looked at specifically the domestically owned companies in Ireland and compared them in our European peer group with domestically owned companies. Companies in those countries. And there'd be about 1.2 million people in Ireland working for these domestic companies.
And your study found what in terms of the comparison between Irish workers and other European workers?
In the domestic economy, and that would be excluding the public sector and foreign-owned multinationals, Ireland performs, you know, relatively poorly. We would need to increase productivity by 17% to reach the average of other European, other small open economies in Europe. And that might not seem so important, but just to give you an idea, if we could overnight, through some magic wand, increase our productivity by 17%, we could increase wages by 17%. Profits would go up by 17%. Increased productivity spreads the prosperity around, and that's why it's so key. But not only did we find overall that we were weak, apart from two sectors, again, Ireland was at the bottom of the table. Those two exceptions were professional and scientific, where we did quite well, driven by management consultancy in particular, and in construction, where we were about average. But when you look at manufacturing, wholesale retail, transport and storage, administrative services, we compared very poorly compared to the average of other small open economies.
All right, Neil MacDonald, CEO of ISME. If we went back about, I would say, 20 years or so, concerns were being raised about how much of the Irish economy or how much of the sort of good signs of the Irish economy were coming from foreign direct investment and the construction boom, and there was concerns being raised about the underlying manufacturing base and the small and medium enterprise sector. Are we back to that stage, and what did you make of the study by the Nevin Institute?
Well, good morning, Colm. Our concern is actually that we are back at that stage. Believe it or not, we're very substantially in agreement with this report. There's very little in it that isn't factual or accurate. And, you know, back to your first question to Michael, what is productivity? Business disposable income, it's essentially profitability. Nesk is right to say that actually Irish businesses, and particularly small Irish businesses sub 50, but most particularly those employing less than 10 people, are not profitable at all. And we actually agree with most of the reasons cited by the unions in Chapter 8 for why local productivity is poor, most especially around the crowding out effect of large businesses, because between the multinational sector and the public sector, those two sectors together employ 49% of the Irish workforce. So small businesses are struggling just to stand still in getting highly skilled labour into those sectors. And our input costs are extremely high, and those input costs include wages. So, you know, when Michael says if profitability or productivity improves 17%, so would wages. You know, businesses expect to make a return as well, as do their shareholders. Profit is the return to the business. Wages are the return to the worker. But we absolutely agree with most of the analysis, and we want our businesses to be more productive and more profitable. We have been arguing for that for a long time. And yes, this year ISMI had our training budget via SkillNet cut by 10%. So, you know, there's a lack of joined up thinking, unfortunately, at a macro level in how to address this.
Can I ask you then, you're talking about you're in competition with both the public sector and the foreign direct investment firms to be able to attract talent. That, you know, obviously involves wage competition. That's the market. So what's the solution?
Well, if you look actually at the report, to be fair, it points out the areas that, we've been saying them for years in pre-budget submissions to government. Our infrastructure quality is poor, and that is particularly acute in housing. So a huge amount of wages go in simply providing housing or rent. Peripherality and transport costs. We are a North Atlantic EU member whose only land border is with a non-EU country. We don't take that into account when we're talking about how we manage our trade. Our fragmentation and lack of scale is unfortunately really significant. 99.8% of Irish businesses are small or medium in size, in other words, less than 250 people, and the vast majority of those have less than 50 people. And unless we can scale those businesses, we will not get productivity up. Yet our tax system mitigates against scale, and businesses that want to scale, improve and become more productive are actually punished by the tax right. system in a way that the tax system does not punish multinationals.
Okay, Michael Taft, the first thing that Neil MacDonald mentioned there was one of the costs affecting how much disposable income workers have, namely housing. And is that the main area where public investment might be made in order to ramp up the productivity in the wider economy?
Well, certainly if there was more affordable housing, whether for purchase or for rent, if we could actually reduce the cost of housing and the cost of renting, that would be a boost to the productive economy, no doubt, because then all that money that's going to banks or to landlords now can be redirected into the tills and cash registers of businesses, local businesses up and down the country. So that money is being sucked out of the productive economy, and it's also, of course, causing causing hardship for households as well. So if you were to begin to resolve that, you would have a twofold benefit. I think it's very positive the way that, Neil has engaged with the document, because many of the issues that Neil raises are the type of issues that we have to start talking about. Now, some of it, it's pretty dry. It's, it's for a lot of people. But this is the nuts and bolts of building the economy. And actually, the government had an excellent proposal in its program for government, which they never implemented. And that would have been to set up sectoral task forces where the major stakeholders could come, you know, on a sector by sector basis, major stakeholders could come together with the appropriate minister and actually, in the first instance, measure the problem. That's what my colleague Chris Smart from the Nevin Economic Research Institute and I, that's what we focused on, measuring the productivity deficit, then coming to the stage of saying, well, why is it happening? It's going to be different in different sectors. And then thirdly, to build a consensus between the stakeholders over the way forward. That type of negotiation, that type of...
Sounds a bit like social partnership.
No, well, you can talk about it being social partnership. Social partnership never got to that stage. By the way, it never engaged in sectoral planning. So, no, I don't think that you can equate that with social partnership. This is something much deeper because it's about negotiating the problems that sectors and businesses face, going forward. So, therefore, that willingness to talk to each other. And certainly SIPTU and the trade union movement is willing to talk to employers about these problems, and we would hope that they would reciprocate.
All right. Neil McDonald, what do you think of that for an idea?
Oh, it's an absolutely fabulous idea. I think, one of the things the report talks about is the lack of the employee voice. And in a week where the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, had his first meeting with the Labour Employer Economic Forum, the fact is that the largest group of employers in the country, who being the small and medium employers who employ 60% of the Irish workforce, 1.3 million actually, just a small correction for Michael, 1.3 million out of 2.6 million workers, and they are not represented at that table, which is absolutely absurd. So you can't have collective bargaining or an employee voice where you don't have an employer voice. This isn't the way that this happens on the continent, but we appear to have an Irish solution to an Irish problem here.
What does happen on the continent that you think could improve the productivity here, Neil McDonald, that maybe Ireland should take a lesson from?
Well, for example, there is an employer voice at all fora. So when we the Department of the Taoiseach conducted a study on collective bargaining with ICTU 2 years ago, and they talked about collective bargaining at enterprise level. That means at firm level. Now, in reality, that doesn't happen on the continent. But what does happen is that all employers are required to be represented in some form, either through a trade association such as ours or through a local chamber. And on their behalf, those chambers or trade associations negotiate with trade unions. That style of continental collective bargaining is not something that any Irish employer is afraid of. We would be more than happy to participate in it. But the only way you start that process rolling is when government actually recognises the position of the largest group of employers in the country.
All right. Michael Taft, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that's positive that Neil's saying that his members are willing to, utilize those type of institutions. We have joint labour committees, but unfortunately, the employers in the hospitality sector and the retail sector and many other sectors don't turn up. They veto the process. But I don't want to sound negative, because at the end of the day, the issue of productivity is one that requires all stakeholders' involvement. There's no quick fix. There's no lever. It's not about cutting taxes. It's not about cutting wages. It's none of those things. It is the hard grind of creating efficient and competitive companies in our domestic sector, something that we're failing to do now.
Is it possible for businesses that run on very tight margins, like particularly hospitality or small retail, to ramp up productivity to levels like 17% when you have input costs like energy, over which nobody really has much control, where the wages are the wages and the rents and the rates are pretty much fixed costs as well? Is a radical jump in productivity possible in a small corner cafe?
No, the in the hospitality and large part of the retail sector, you know, you don't get significant productivity growth. That's by the the drivers of the drivers of more.
So where's the greatest potential? I suppose is another.
Well, manufacturing would be one. We're very poor in terms of manufacturing, especially for some reason, food manufacturing, which is our biggest domestic manufacturing sector, but it falls even further behind the averages. But even looking at hospitality, even looking at retail, we fall behind the example. We fall behind the performance of similar companies in Europe. So what would be helpful is if we're going to engage in sectoral planning, sectoral task forces, to actually, you know, actually look exactly how do they do it. Is it because of the lack of investment? Is it because of access to affordable capital? Is it because of, you know, lack of employee voice? What are the specific reasons?
Neil MacDonald, where would you see the most cause for hope? What sector of the Irish economy do you think is underperforming that would be easiest fixed?
I actually don't disagree with most of Michael's analysis there. And the issue with hospitality and a lot of services is that you can't actually, in some areas, you know, you're constrained by law from improving productivity. For example, in childcare, you can't just push more children into a room with one minder, nor can you run a nursing home that way, because these are what's known as ratioed services. There is a legally defined ratio between caregivers and those given care. But absolutely, we need to upskill our manufacturing base. We can only do that by improving the training, education and R&D spend in those areas. And yet we find, in most particularly in reference to R&D spend, that is highly concentrated among our multinational sector. Another example of what Michael correctly refers to as crowding out. The one thing I have to correct Michael on is the idea that employers don't show up in the JLCs. We have had to fight for representation on JLCs. There was a serious effort made, the joint labour committees. There was a serious effort made to prevent entry from our childcare federation, despite the fact that that federation represents 80% of employers in the sector. Absolutely ridiculous. And the trade union movement and the big employers need to look at themselves as to why there's no engagement in the JLC sector.
Okay. All right. Very briefly, Michael, in the last 10 seconds, there's finally a disagreement has broken out. Do you want to respond to that briefly?
Well, there's no disagreement. I mean, we're not going to, trade unionists are not going to comment on the internal squabbles between employer organizations. That's for them to sort out. Again, we come back to the idea that if we can improve productivity, we can improve wages, we can improve profits, and by the way, we can also improve tax revenue. So we can get out of this idea of thinking that you can only improve tax revenue by increasing taxes or introducing a new tax. You can actually have more efficient and competitive companies that will do that for you.
All right. Michael Taft from Civ2, you just heard there, and earlier Neil MacDonald from ISME. Thanks very much for joining.